Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Pastor Jason, he challenged us with, our yeses and our immediate yeses. He talked about Matthew when Jesus called Matthew and how Matthew left immediately and followed Jesus, even though that meant leaving comfort, wealth, status. He saw Jesus and he said, nothing else matters. And that's what Jesus calls us to as well when he calls us to follow him. And today's passage and what we're looking at today picks up right after Matthew leaves his collection booth. And really, the title of today's message is called The Outsiders. Let that sink in for just a minute, okay? The Outsiders. Because we're about ready to see and experience and understand the kind of people that Jesus chose to spend his time with. We're looking in the book of Matthew. Right after Matthew leaves his collection booth, he invites Jesus and his other disciples to his home for dinner. They're the dinner guests. And Matthew invites many of his friends as well. Now, if you remember what Pastor Jason was talking about, if you weren't here, let me recap. Matthew was a Jew, so he was in the Jewish community. However, he had partnered with the Roman government who was oppressing the Jewish community, and he was now collecting taxes from his fellow Jews for the government of Rome. And tax collectors had a bad reputation of getting more, expecting more money than was actually necessary exploiting their fellow man, exploiting the Jews. And so you can imagine the type of people that chose to hang around Matthew. They probably weren't people of reputable status in the community. And here we pick up in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13, with Jesus and the other disciples at Matthew's house. It says, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Tucked inside of these verses are two things, and only two. You're like, there's only two points to today's message? Yeah, there is. Okay? There's two things that I think are valuable lessons, valuable instructions for those of us who call ourselves Christ followers. Now, if you're sitting in here today and you think, well, I don't know. I don't know if that is what I call myself. I don't know that I've ever even decided to be a Christ follower. You will have an opportunity at the end of today's message. I want you to know that. I also, you know what? I feel like I need to just be vulnerable and tell you this, is that this week as I was preparing this message, It wasn't coming. Like, I don't know, you've heard the word writer's block, right? Like, I had pastor's block. It was not coming to me. I would try, and nothing was happening. And Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, Paula, you got to do something. Because you are not doing what this passage says. So before you can get up there and preach this message, you got to do this message. And I had to reach out to a person that I had not been hospitable or open to and say I was sorry. I actually had to say these words. You know, I get up on Sunday mornings and I preach about loving people, and I haven't done that to you, and I'm sorry. Because sometimes God calls us to say, like, listen, if you want people to receive me, you got to humble down a little bit, right? And as soon as I was obedient and I did what he asked me to do, he was like, okay, here's your points. You ready? The first point is this. Invite people to your table and don't refuse to sit at theirs. I'm going to say that one more time. Invite people to your table and do not refuse to sit at theirs. Our passage today opens with, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Relationships and trust are built around the table. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Relationships and trust are built around the table. You know, there's a saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you ever heard that? People don't care how much you know how much you care. And this saying is the same in the kingdom of God as well. People who aren't following Jesus have to see him through us first before they can ever think about trusting him. If we are not allowing Jesus to shine through us and to move through us and to love through us, then the people around us will never think about trusting Jesus. When Jason and I first moved to Springfield, Missouri, in the southwest corner of Missouri, called the Bible Belt, okay, we pulled into town with a California license plate on our van, and we immediately became known as, you know, the people from the left coast. Like, it was said multiple times to us, oh, there's the people from the left coast. Right? And so we lived in this little community called Republic. And I was sitting out on the deck one day. The house right next door to us was for sale. And I was sitting out on the deck with my kids. And I see next door, because my deck was raised above. I could see over the next door neighbor's fence. And I could see that there were two men and a lady walking around in the backyard. And I was like, I wonder if that house is selling. And just as I'm having that thought, this man comes over and he goes like, hey, are you my new neighbor? And I said, oh, I think I am. Hi, my name's Paula. And he introduced himself and he said, hi, my name's Chuck. And this is my roommate, Scott. And you know, I just knew right away. I'm like, that's not his roommate. I just knew it. He introduced him as his roommate. But I knew that that wasn't the case. And immediately was like, really, God, that is funny. You move us all the way out to Southwest Missouri in Republic, Missouri? Like, this is where you're going to have neighbors Chuck and Scott? And he said, yeah. And I just want you to love them. Just love them. And so we began this relationship with Chuck and Scott. And Chuck and Scott would frequently come over to our house and be around our table. And we would frequently go over to Chuck and Scott's house. Chuck and Scott took care of our animals when we were on vacation, and we took care of their animals when they were on vacation, and they weren't home. One Easter came along, and we had invited some people from church that we were attending to come back to our house for Easter dinner. And I asked Chuck and Scott if they wanted to join us. And they did. And we all had dinner together. And they stayed and they watched our kids have an egg hunt together. And a couple of years later, some other neighbors, like down the street from us, were adopting a family, a group of three kids. And they were having an adoption ceremony at the church where they attended. They didn't attend the same church that Jason and I attended. And just so you, we never had a conversation with Chuck and Scott about our beliefs and what we thought about their relationship and what the Bible said. We didn't have to. They just knew. They knew. But they just saw our love for them. And this neighbor invited all of us to come to their church for this adoption ceremony. And I asked Chuck, I said, hey, are you and Scott going to go to that ceremony? He goes, absolutely not. And I said, oh, why? And he said, because if we step foot in their church, they will damn us to hell. And I said, Chuck, is that how you feel about Jason and I? And he said, no. And I said, well, what's the difference? And he said, because you have always shown us love, no matter what. You've always shown us love, and we trust you. And we trust you. When he told me that, it reminded me of a part in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40, it says this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did this to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. My table cannot be exclusive to only those who think and believe like I do. My table can't be exclusive. Because then I am not offering hospitality to those in need. But in the same way, we have to be willing to go to their table as well and meet them right where they are. When we lived in St. Louis, I worked with a girl named Sammy who was a self-proclaimed agnostic. You know, and an agnostic is one who, like, believes that there's something bigger out there, but is open to anything. And Sammy would never go to church. Sammy would, she was just not open to that. But Sammy loved me. And I loved Sammy. And one day, Sammy said, "Hey, Paula, I'm having some friends together for my birthday dinner and wanted to know if you would go with me. And we're going to a winery." And there's I have a handful of list of reasons why consuming alcohol is wrong for me. Okay? I'm not saying that it's wrong for any of you. There's specific instructions in God's word about being drunk. But there's specific reasons why consuming alcohol is wrong for me. And Sammy knew that. Sammy knew that I did not drink. But yet she invited me to come to a winery. And I said, "Yes, I'll go with you. I'll go and have dinner with you and your friends." And I did. And I went and had all the Diet Pepsi I could possibly drink, because those people at the winery was like, "This is a lot cheaper than pouring her a glass of wine." And after I had spent those few hours with Sammy, do you know that the next time I invited her to come to church, she did. She sat on the front row right next to me. To this day, I don't know that Sammy has made a decision for Jesus, but I know this. She knows. She knows that I love her. She knows that God loves her. And she knows that I was not too good to sit at her table and have dinner with her in her element. Because my yes to someone's invitation can't be exclusive to just those who think or believe the way I do. Right? And the second thing that we need to look at in this portion of scripture is this. May we never forget. May we never forget. Listen, this slogan, "May we never forget," has become like the slogan for the events of September 11th, 2001. If you go to Ground Zero in New York City, the words "May we never forget" is all over the place. May we never forget what got us here. May we never forget the men and women that we lost because of this. "May we never forget" serves as a slogan to remind us of what happens when we get comfortable. May we never forget. And Jesus warned us of the same thing. "For I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." I've come to call those I've come to call those not who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Guys, I always want to remember what Jesus saved me from and what he calls me to. I always want to remember. And if I start thinking of all the reasons I deserve to go to heaven, I'm closer to hell. Let me just say that one more time. If I start thinking and pondering on all the reasons I deserve to go to heaven, I'm actually closer to hell. I remember one time I was sitting in the car, and my dad had recently passed away. Some of you have heard part of my story of my relationship with my dad, and it was a very broken relationship. And I was feeling just the pain of rejection. And my sister had told me, like, Paula, I know that Dad accepted Christ before he died. I know he did. I know he believed. And I was so angry by that statement because I felt so rejected by my dad. And I was in the car with Jason, and I was kind of telling him what my sister had told me. And I said, Jason, he doesn't even deserve to go to heaven. And Jason turned and looked at me, and I know the Holy Spirit, like, just cattle prodded him to speak this out. And he said, Paula, do any of us deserve to go to heaven? Deserving of heaven than my dad. I'm no more deserving of heaven than the woman who's on the street corner selling her body so that she can get her next fix. I'm no more deserving of heaven than the man who's behind that woman on the street corner using her. I'm no more deserving of heaven than the prisoner who is serving a life sentence for committing murder. I am no more deserving than you, and you are no more deserving than me. May we never forget what he saved us from and what he calls us to. He calls us to love people. He calls us to open up our table and receive people. He calls us to accept the invitation to meet other people right where they are. May we never forget.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.